In today's episode, I revisit failure and why it's so important that we allow our children to fail as often as possible. This is how legends are made. Wow, cable freedom. This is it. Okay, so welcome to the vlog. Today I am super excited, but I have cable freedom. What it is that I finally bought an extension cable for the microphone. So I'm, because before it's only about a meter and a bit long, so I could only go so far from the camera. But now, this means I can be further away and I'll reposition it better. Small thing, but clearly I'm quite happy by the process and quite excited by it all. But it amuses me. I guess it's the little things that which really make us happy, and the idea that I've got a longer extension cable makes me smile. But the thing I wanted to share with you today, which I think would be quite informative quite interesting, is just about reflecting on something I've spoken about before, but I think it's just continue worth reinforcing. And it's about the subject of failure. And I've yet to have an occasion where the challenges of dealing with failure or problems hasn't caused issues, either with a kind of a client or, say, the partner of a client. And I find myself reflecting that so much of what we do can be based because we have a fear of failure, because we've not been exposed enough to it. We've been held on to the belief, we've been taught the belief that success happens 99% of the time and failure is 1%, when everyone knows the reverse is entirely true. We may succeed 1 or 2% over the 98% of attempts trying to make it work. And it was just out of a conversation I've had with a client this week that really showed that. What it is that the talking about actually their partner and going through the partner's behavior, how they have kind of withdrawn in themselves, hidden themselves away, and then kind of how they've approached certain problems, certain issues, how they've dealt with it, how they've communicated it, the whole list of things of their behavior, really demonstrated that, what it did was prompted me to ask the question, what was their childhood like? What was their parental situation? How did the mother kind of regard them? And it's that because of the current behavior kind of indicates to me there must be something happening or happened through kind of growing up and how they were parented. And it was interesting how the client kind of retold the story of how the parents were very loving, very kind of coddling, very nurturing, and very much put the son on a pedestal, very much kind of out of reach from challenges. And I said, isn't that fascinating how when we are protected from failure, when we grow up and we live our lives and make our decisions, that we're so inexperienced that we find ways to remove ourselves from failure, and we prevent ourselves from feeling it because we don't know how to cope with it. We've never had it before. So we'll put in systems in place to protect ourselves from it, defend ourselves from it. And it's just interesting, again, having another conversation about how we need to educate ourselves or re-educate ourselves in understanding that, you know, we have to fail. In the same way we breathe, we need to put that in the same context, in the same positive, optimistic light. The necessity of breathing needs to also be put forward, the necessity of failure. I'm not sure we can ever rename it other than failure, but if we can reassociate it to other things which are equally as life nurturing or nutritious for our souls and our minds, then we need to put it in there as well, because it plays out. If we continue to tell our children they're perfect and wonderful when maybe they aren't, or if they have an issue that they can't get over, or there's a problem they haven't succeeded on in some form, rather than kind of making it okay, but letting them face the issue, find ways to overcome it, is more useful for them. I have an example from this week, I guess. It's not necessarily about failure, but I guess it's still dealing with the emotions, and I guess as part of being a parent as well. Daughter went to school and didn't realise till she got home that actually all her pens from a pen case had been taken, replaced with a few things, but she hadn't realised. She was absolutely in bits. She came downstairs and said to me, and she was just crying. She was absolutely just tearful. I said, what's happened? Have you broken your phone? Literally the first thing I would have thought. And she said, no, someone's taken my pen. She explained it. And she was upset, angry, frustrated, and crying. And rather than get her to kind of just kind of like push it away or subdue it or say there, or it's not a problem or a replacement or whatever, I fully allowed her to feel those feelings. I didn't demote them from her, I allowed them to feel them. And then once she began to kind of let the crying cease, I simply said, you know, it's okay to feel these things. Let that stay with you. You're going to feel angry, you know, grab a pillow and punch it. Get that energy out of you. Don't hang on to it. It's right to feel angry. And I mean, not the word that I use with her, but there is a violation that's been happened, violation of your privacy. And she said it's never happened to her before. And it's true. It never has happened to her before. So it's her first experience of it. So it was really important that she understood that to really to hang on to the emotion, just to understand it, to acknowledge it, to realize that it's there. And then to kind of leave it in the past when she was able to, not to rush that process. That's the important part, to not to rush it. And then obviously I suggested to her some ways that she could find out what had happened. And she actioned those the day after to no result, nothing. She couldn't find the pens or the calculator she'd lost. The whole thing had gone. And naturally she needs a few replacements. So that has happened. But I didn't reduce her ownership of the problem. I didn't reduce it, I didn't take away and say, I'll fix it, or I'll call school and I'll get the thing replaced and I'll da da da. I actually empowered her to resolve it. And I think it's a similar thing, or at least has the same ingredients, of recognizing that we need to allow our children to have mistakes and have problems. The silly phrase is it toughens them up. I don't think that's great. I think the better expression is about it helps them exercise a muscle called resilience. It helps them exercise that so they become stronger, know how to bounce back. It will encourage their optimism, will encourage a way of positive thinking. Not the grass is green and it's all wonderful, but a way that, okay, this is shit, it's gone wrong, but how can I get out of this? How can I resolve it? And she'll have the resources there. So a long way back to the conversation about failure. I continually look for the opportunity to allow my children to fail and make mistakes. And allow them to take the consequences of their choices. I think this is more encouraging to their mental well-being, their mental health, their physical health. And all of that combined gives them the strength to come back and deal with issues and challenges, which I think seems to be such at a core, one of the core issues I find with clients or partners of clients in some form. It does come up. So that is my reflections for today. That is all I have for today. I have to be fully immersed in work for today. And Friday, we'll be going into London to have a corporate client coaching session there. So I am hoping I can get some more content out for you. But other than that, I hope you're having a fantastic day wherever you are. I'm certainly having an absolutely brilliant one with my extended cable. And I will catch you on the next episode. Legends are made.